are those of the host and the participants.
Okie doke, welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live today on Sunday, was it May 16th? 16th, here in Campbell Hall on the University of Illinois campus. Today we've got a terrific guest. Janine Garofalo is an actress and activist. She's acted in several movies, including The Laramie Project, Dogma, Wet Hot American Summer, The Truth About Cats and Dogs, and Reality Bites. And in the months before the Iraq War, she was an outspoken advocate for diplomacy and peace on numerous talk shows like Crossfire, Inside Politics, and Good Morning America. Currently, Janine Garofalo co-hosts a three-hour live show called The Majority Report on the new liberal radio network Air America. Welcome to Media Matters, Janine.
Hi, thanks.
Hey, it's really great of you to come here on a Sunday afternoon. I know you work around the clock, so we really appreciate
it. Oh,
you.
No, I don't. Thanks.
You do. I mean, you're working night shift, aren't you?
Well, I work the night shift Monday through Friday.
Okay.
But, you know, it's from 8 to 11 Monday through Friday, but I'm off Saturday and Sunday, so.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking your day off and joining
us. No problem.
And, you know, I see in the bio I was given, it left off the film you were in, Steal This Movie.
Oh, yeah, Abbie Hoffman.
The Abbie Hoffman film that Robert Greenwald made. And Robert was a guest on the show a while back, so I want to mention that film, which I think was really quite underrated.
Well, you know, it's got its flaws, but it's Vincent D'Onofrio did a great job. All the actors did a great job, and it's a great story. But Robert's also responsible for the documentary Uncovered, The Real Truth Behind the Iraq War. Invasion, if you will.
And, you know, Robert, although he's not our guest today, he's got a new film he's working on you might be familiar with about the Fox News Channel.
Yes.
And
right.
That's coming out this summer and should probably certain to make a splash. Another thing that's missing from your bio is that you were on the Larry Sanders Show for a few years.
Right? Yeah, I was on the Larry Sanders Show for, I think, 3 seasons.
Yeah, and that is one of the great shows in television history.
Thank you.
By the way, you started as a stand-up comic, right?
Yeah, I still do stand-up. I started doing stand-up in 1985.
And you're from New England, right?
I am from New Jersey originally. New Jersey. I went to school at Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island, and then started doing stand-up in Boston, but also Houston.
Now, are you you still do stand-up? Do you still want to do a lot of acting? Or how does the radio talk show fit into your original career?
Well, it doesn't really. I was actually supposed to do another movie this summer with the director who did Donnie Darko, and I had to inform him that I wouldn't be able to do it because it can't be done because, you know, I start, even though the show is from 8 to 11 p.m., you know, I start prepping by pulling stories and checking out, you know, different news stories domestically and internationally throughout the day to see what we want to talk about, and then you have to get organized doing pre-interviews with guests and things like that. So it sort of doesn't. So, you know, for now, you know, I much prefer to be doing this radio show. It's more fulfilling to me, and it's enjoyable. And also this summer we're going to be going to Boston to cover the Democratic convention, and that would be a conflict with shooting the film in L.A. So I guess I just can't do it.
So it's basically you're going to do the radio show and stick with that for a while and sort of see where the chips fall, they may?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it as long as there is a network, as long as we have broadcast capability, which unfortunately in the beginning stages was sort of up in the air because we had a few people in upper management who were not doing their job very well. They're gone now. So hopefully we will be on the air permanently, and then hopefully I will have a job with Air America permanently. And like I said, it's sort of more interesting and more important to me to be doing the Majority Report than it is to be acting. Not that I don't enjoy acting, but, you know.
Yeah, when is how many cities carry Air America or carry the Majority Report right now?
I think right now we're up to about 20 or 25 affiliates, and we're hoping to expand. We are available on XM and Sirius satellite everywhere, and we're also available to be streamed in real time if you go to airamericaradio.com and click on to listen through your computer.
Now, you've got a co-host in your show.
Yes, Sam Cedar. He's great. Sam Cedar is a director and a documentary filmmaker and a stand-up comic who most recently directed I'm with Busey on Comedy Central. And a series for Bravo called Pilot Season that'll be going on in a few weeks.
The other shows, for people not familiar with Air America, what the lineup includes, besides the Majority Report, what are some of the other shows?
We have the O. Franken Factor with Al Franken mm-hmm. and Catherine Lamper. We mm-hmm. have Morning Sedition with, I always confuse Morning Sedition and Unfiltered, which are the two morning shows which have Liz Winstead and Rachel Maddow and Chuck D and Mark Maron.
That's a great name. Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition and Unfiltered are the morning shows. Then there's O Frankenfactor. Then there's Randy Rhodes, the Randy Rhodes Show. And then there's Majority Report. We also have the Laura Flanders Show with author and activist Laura Flanders.
Yeah, well, she was a guest here about a month ago on our show.
Yeah. So. She's got one. And we have Ring of Fire with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and attorney Mike Papantonio.
So it's quite a lineup you got there.
Yeah, it's good. And we're going to be continue to expand. I personally am pushing for Jello Biafra to have a show on our repertoire, and I think he'd be great at it. We had him on as a guest recently, and he's just fantastic, and he also has been doing some great work with Greg Palast. So that's my pick is when we expand, I'm hoping Jello Biafra has a show.
You know, I've traveled around the country since you've come on the air with Air America, and everywhere I go, people are talking about it. And so there's been sort of this disconnect because – on one hand, I'm hearing everyone talk about it. Then I pick up the New York Times business section, and every week there's an article about someone losing their job. Or
yes. Well, like I said, we had some very bad. I don't know whether word to use. We had some management people in upper management who really seemed to almost deliberately mishandle it to the point where you'd think, are these guys Republican moles? They seemed to... again, they're no longer there, but there seemed to be an element there that was actively working against the network, and their behavior was really bizarre and almost ensuring the failure in certain markets. And so hopefully that's been remedied, and we're rebuilding. And you know, unfortunately, we're financially very strapped, but that's okay. It's not a for-profit endeavor.
Yeah.
And everybody who's there is basically there as a labor of love. And we are affiliated with WBLS in New York, so that's been very helpful. And, you know, there is a lot of myths that we're not doing well, you know, coming from the right-wing noise machine. But we have no way of knowing yet without the Arbitron ratings, as you know, which don't really come in yet. I think we have to wait a few months to find out how we're doing. But if the blogs are any indication, then there's hundreds and thousands of people listening.
Yeah, in fact, I can tell you, Jeannie, as you know, I was on your show a few weeks ago, and I do a lot of radio, and I got a lot of feedback from that show, much more than most of the radio I do, including NPR shows. So clearly there's a listenership.
Yeah, there's a lot of people with a lot to say about it, plus and positive and negative.
Yeah, we're talking to Jeannine Garofalo today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We're talking about Jeannine's new show, The Majority Report, which she co-hosts on the Air America Radio Network. You can hear that here in Urbana, Champaign at airamerica.com. It's also streamed on the satellite radio systems if you have those services in your home. Jeannine, we're going to take callers in a little bit, and the phone numbers here are 333-9455 and our toll-free number 1-800-222-9455. But let's first talk about the Iraq War because, you know, you were, I think, really one of the leading figures who was able to appear on our talk shows prior to the war, the build-up
to the
war.
Which was unfortunate because it's just not ideal to
have. But, you know, for regrettably in our culture, if one isn't a celebrity, their chances of appearing on these shows apparently is minimal.
That's right.
And you took it upon yourself to do it. And I think, you know, you made a number of arguments criticizing and challenging the claims of the Bush administration. I think now have been proven pretty much vindicated entirely concerning weapons of mass destruction in connection to Al-Qaeda. Have you had any, I mean, when you talk to the producers of these shows or people from that period who were chastising you, what do they say now?
Oh, basically nothing. You know, there's really not much, there is no way from the mainstream media to get any kind of a mea culpa. Not that I'm looking for one and I don't really care about that. There's no joy for me for somebody saying, hey, that might have been right what you were saying, and I'm sorry that we encourage people to email you and slander you, and I'm sorry that we encourage people to boycott, you know, your ABC series, you know, as it was in development, and you know, because they don't care, because to them, it's a combination of things, you know, and the corporate mainstream media's job is not to inform you fully. It's not to go run counter to government propaganda. You know what I mean? So to then question why they did it, it's just silly. They know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense.
It's not like they were there to inform us in the first place. So,
you know, I thought of that because I was looking at Michael Moore's website the other day, and they have the text of his Oscar talk that he gave at the Oscars that got booed down, apparently, you know, people backstage.
In theory, it got booed down.
And I read it, and basically what he said now is received wisdom, you know, about the fictitious war.
Well, look, anybody who's a critical thinker, anybody who did a little bit of homework prior to the invasion and occupation, knew it that it was so full of lies and holes and dishonesty, and knew that it was probably going to go very badly. And one of the pluses of living in New York City is I can go to Columbia University, I can go to NYU, I can go to the New School, I can go to the 92nd Street Y, and I can see people speak authoritatively on Middle Eastern issues. So, you know, when you get to hear all those voices and then you do your own homework and you educate yourself in some way, you realize how wrong-headed the plan was and how much disinformation was being pumped out there. But the mainstream media people are fairly well aware of it. There's some that are not any brighter than Joe Blow around the water cooler at work, who likes to armchair quarterback politics. Some know better, and they deliberately scrub the stories. And then there are some people who are not that savvy or bright working in mainstream media, which is really frightening.
We're talking to Jean Garofalo, the co-host of The Majority Report on the new radio network Air America today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We've got some people on the line. Let's go to the phone lines now. Line one, Urbana, you're on the air with Jean Garofalo.
Hello. Sorry, I'm trying to say a couple things at once. I'm not completely prepared here. First of all, Jeanine, I like your movies, big fan.
Thank you.
Two, I hope Air America succeeds. I think it's a great idea, and I love the O. Franken Factor. I think that show is great in tone. I find that it's very convincing to people who might not already have seen through the Iraq War, people mm-hmm. who get drawn in. I find that with a lot of the other programs, though, they kind of assume that you're already against the Iraq War or whatever. You know, there are so many reasons to be against what Bush has done to this country in the past 4 years. And I worry that, you know, some of the shows in tone are too confrontational off the bat. I sometimes wonder if there's a need for more humor and less, you know, less attack sometimes. And I can see the counter to that, but I thought I'd bring it up. Second, this show, Bob McChesney Show, congratulations, Bob, was the top fundraiser for our excellent public radio station here in our last fund drive. I wonder if Air America is thinking of picking up, you know, shows from public radio. Maybe they can save money by finding shows that are, you know, already being produced and putting them together and getting them out there. Anyway, I'll just hang up and listen. Oh, Alternative Radio. That's another good show that's free, I believe, for any station who wants to play it. And, you know, that same kind of thing. Anyway, that's all.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Jeanine?
Well, addressing the first thing, that's definitely the point is well taken. Here's, because we go back and forth on that about how sort of strident and confrontational our show is sometimes. And we sort of have thought, well, why not try it this way? Because apparently it's been so successful for the right. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. kind of just assuming that everybody's on the same page and you're just kind of very bold right out of the gate and just kind of seeing if that works, because it has over the last 15 to 20 years really, really, really managed to create a huge voting bloc in this country that, in my opinion, votes against their best interests all the time because they're very susceptible to that right-wing stridency. But we sort of wanted to see what it would be like to have left-wing shows that come at you in that same manner.
Yeah, because the critique of the non-right-wing radio, everything else has been, it's in sort of wimpy Marquis of Queensberry stuff mm-hmm. that tries to be neutral and rational and objective and sober and soft-spoken. And it just sounds like people don't really stand for anything.
Right. It just seemed like, you know, the even-handedness and, you know, not even-handedness, but the soft-spokenness and all of that, you can get on NPR and many other more left-leaning or centrist-leaning talk radio shows. Like I said, we have gone back and forth on it, but we thought, why not try this? Yeah. Why not try the same approach that has been so very successful for the right?
Yeah, okay, and then I guess you probably...
And then the second was picking up other shows. Actually, you know, I have no idea if that's in the pipe or not. I don't know. I know we have on everybody's blogs, there's links to other shows and mm-hmm. things that everybody really likes. I know that I myself push Pacifica Radio all the time, and Amy Goodman, who's one of my personal heroes, and we frequently do talk about other shows that are great to listen to.
We're talking to Jean Garofalo today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. The phone number here, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, 333-9455, the toll-free number 1-800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phone lines. Line 2, Champagne, you're on the air with Jean Garofalo.
Hi, fan. I've been listening to Air America actually since the first day. I had trouble the first day. I think that was a good sign. And I just wanted to put in one request. I know you guys had problems with Chicago, and I'm hoping in the future you'll get another air station in Chicago. And I would hope maybe you could find one that would reach us down here, or Bloomington Normal, or some of the other towns that have pockets of I don't know what you want to call it, listeners that would be interested.
Well, I was under the impression we were back on the air in Chicago. Is that not true?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a moderator on a certain place that discusses Air America, and the last I heard they were running Caribbean music, maybe.
That's our station, too, because we're part of WBLS, which is Caribbean.
Okay.
For some of the time, it's Caribbean station. So that would be us still, too. As far as I know, we were only off the air in Chicago for about 48 hours.
Oh, great.
I may be wrong about that, but I know that L.A. were, I think, still off the air on, but I had heard Chicago we were back on.
I've switched to the online stream in the meantime, since it's a little bit easier to pick up. Sometimes it's not so easy to pick up the signal down here in Champaign. But my two questions were, there's a lot of debate about, I kind of felt this when we were at the march in Washington, I'm going to use labels here, you know, progressive versus Democrat with a big D, and I wondered what you thought Air America's place was. It seems from your show, it's less Democrat with a big D and more liberal, progressive, you know, counter argument. And then my other question was, do you all, I don't know about ratings, but will you all take into account perhaps audio archives that people are downloading and listening to? And will that be factored into your listenership?
I believe it is. You know, I'm not sure how Arbitron works. Randy Rhodes is much more savvy and stuff like that. I know that what is factored in is how many unique hits we get and how many people are archiving, things of that nature. Also, in regarding the Democrat question, I consider myself a Democrat who is represented by the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. Which is not, you know, the Joe Lieberman Democrat, which is, to me, sort of a Republican light. I am a big fan of Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich and, you know, various and sundry other Democrats who work to maintain the values of, you know, the liberal arm of the Democratic Party, liberal progressive, which I consider to be sort of all the same thing.
Yeah.
Jeanine, what do you make of John Kerry? Where does he fit into your political view?
Well, you know, I sort of am in agreement with Arianna Huffington at the moment, who has a petition you can sign. She and Joe Trippi have a petition. If you go to fanaticsandfools.org, there's a petition you can sign to encourage John Kerry to be bolder, to go bigger, to say more, as opposed to being as contained and neutral as he is. I like John Kerry very much. I will vote for John Kerry. I think that John Kerry could be out and about speaking much more vehemently about a number of issues, but unfortunately for the Democrats, they don't have the support of the mainstream media the way that the Republicans do. So almost anything a Democrat says gets twisted and turned and condescended to. So it's much more difficult for Democrats to be heard and to get their message out. So I can sort of understand why John Kerry prefers to keep a low profile and just let the Bush administration continue to shoot themselves in the foot.
Speaking of Arianna Huffington, she will be our guest on Media Matters 1 week from today, so folks can call in and talk to her then about that. Yesterday, the New York Times had a front page story. You may well have seen it, at least in the national edition. I don't know about the local edition in the city, that there's rumors that John Kerry is considering asking his good friend John McCain, the Republican senator from Arizona, to join him on the ticket.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful idea because, you know, whether a lot of people agree or disagree with all of John McCain's platforms, he seems to be a fairly honorable guy. He's a bold guy. He can also get the swing voters, and he can get a lot of Republicans and legitimate conservatives who realize that the Bush administration is not conservative, but they are, you know, radical, very radical, sort of big government type of people, and they're not fiscally prudent, and their foreign policy agenda is clearly very wrong-headed. And so I think that John McCain could satisfy many, many people who may be wary of voting for a Democrat or may be wary of voting for John Kerry. I think it would be a great idea.
Okay, well, we're talking to Janine Garofalo. Again, the phone lines are open at 333-9455, the toll-free number 1-800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lovington, line 3, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Hi. I guess kind of go on with what you said. I lived in Moultrie County, and people on listening may or may not know, but the I think the neocons are even kind of ruined whatever was good in the Republican Party down here. But my question to you is, where do you get your information that you feel is reliable? And I'll hang up.
Listen. Well, I sort of cobble it together, if you will. I sort of feel like I need to go to lots and lots of different places. I read a number of different magazines, you know, more on the left, Mother Jones and In These Times and The Nation, and then I'll read Foreign Affairs Magazine and The Economist. Sometimes I'll read The New Republic. I listen to NPR, I listen to Pacifica Radio, I listen to WBAI, then I watch international news with Dish TV, and then I'll also be pulling stories from Reuters or the AP Wire. So it's sort of a hodgepodge of...
Yeah, it takes a lot of time, too, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it is. That's like the biggest part of the job is just the time that it takes to compile information that you... hope is more reliable than others. A lot of it comes from international news. But the problem with the show is all the time there's just not enough time, you know, to talk about all the issues or the sides of the issues, or the perspectives of the issues. I mean, 3 hours goes by so fast, especially since we have about 4 guests a show as well.
In your career, especially over the last couple of years, as you've become more and more outspoken, have you felt any negative repercussions from within the industry? I know you've been the subject of boycotts by people outside the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, do you...
Within the industry, no.
Okay.
The only person who gave me sort of a hard time was Kurt Russell. Because apparently he... or at the time, you know, when we had one bad day, you know, when we were in Vancouver working on a film together, and he, you know, just... let it be known that he just was not real happy with me. Apparently, he was under the impression at that time that Iraq was somehow behind 9/11 or, you know, that type of...
Well, he certainly wasn't alone in thinking that.
Well, actually, he should have been, because there was... you know, if you pay attention at all, there would be no reason to connect Iraq
yeah.
to 9/11. So I really have very little sympathy for that. It seems like a combination of ignorance and willful ignorance
mm-hmm.
to have thought that Iraq was behind 9/11.
Okay, we're talking to Janine Garofalo today in Media Matters. Let's go back to the phone lines. Line 4, Chicago, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Yes.
So yes.
This question is for Ms. Garofalo. I'm a Chicago listener, and I didn't turn on my television all the time that they were on 950. I just wondered if they're going to return to the Chicago, any of the Chicago stations.
The Air America?
Yes.
Yeah. I like I said, I was under the impression we were back on in Chicago. I may be wrong about that. I had heard we were only off in Chicago for 48 hours. Is that not true?
No, that's not. If you're back on, I'd like to know what frequency or what radio station you're on, because all I get on 950 now is Mexican music.
It's not
I Caribbean? Really missed your show.
Huh. You know, I honestly don't know. If you go to the AirAmericaRadio.com website, it'll tell you where we are in Chicago. Apparently, I'm misinformed here, because I thought we were back on the same affiliate.
No, unfortunately, that is not the case.
Well, I think
that's what predicated my call.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't turn on my television for all of the time that you guys broadcast, and I listen to every one of your broadcasts, and including the rebroadcast, because it was enlightening to hear the no spin.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry. I wish I had more information for you, because, like I said, I think I've been misinformed. I was told we were back on in Chicago. Apparently, that's not true.
Well, maybe you are in a different frequency.
Yeah, so maybe we are in a different frequency, and unfortunately, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is.
Sir, do you have access to the Internet?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
Well, if you have a friend who does, it sounds like if you can go to the AirAmerica.com website, they will be able to look up.
Maybe I can get a list printed out.
Yeah, I bet
well,
you
good
can.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Ms. Garofalo, and my regards to Randy Rhodes, too. She's a
corker. She's great. She's really great.
Well, this is, you know, do you get a lot of feedback like that?
Well, yeah, the feedback that we get is very, very good. You know, of course, sometimes the only negative stuff I hear is when I'm, you know, switching the dial and I see, you know, some, you know, Republican pundit or right-wing pundit, rather, talking about how unsuccessful we are, which I don't know what they're really predicating that on because they don't have access to the Arbitron numbers either. But I don't know. I seem to get a lot of, you know, at the street level, if you will, when I'm kind of walking around New York where I live, so many, you know, strangers just coming up and saying such nice things about it. So,
you know, I've even heard people criticize it, but the most important thing is they're talking about it.
Yeah.
They're listening. It's getting people talking about the issues that you're raising. And so that, yeah, that's been my experience. There's a lot of buzz out there.
Yeah, which is good, I guess.
Yo, it sure beats, yeah, if no one's talking about it, not
yeah.
good. Okay, well, let's go back to the phone lines. Line 1, Cincinnati, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I am, sadly, one of the things that in our area in the Midwest, in Cincinnati, and that goes for Indianapolis and Columbus area on it, there's a great silence at the moment in regards to the war. And we have a private Mopin who's been held at the moment as a kidnap victim in the war, and our area won't even talk about it. It's such a shameful act, I think, anyway, on it. And one of the things that disturbed me was how the U.S. Army came into Batavia, you know, a couple of them, to, you know, help with the family and how to deal with the issue a couple of weeks ago. By doing that, then they basically ended up cutting off media to the family or letting them get out their opinions on how they feel or what's going on with it. And it's just a shame to see that sort of control, as well as I say, the lack of discussion on it. And I think it's something that your radio stations could promote because, you know, instead of shirking issues, one should be able to deal with them and try and mobilize support for it. And the only other comment I was going to pass on in our area, because they're playing just continuous right-wing radio continually all the time. I can remember when I was driving along with, say, for instance, Sean Hannity's show, for instance, he made the comment when he had James Woods on and another actor, and they were arguing the start of the war. And Sean happened to say, "I believe it's going to be fast and easy." And no one seems to ever pick up on people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity when they make these profound and ignorant statements. And no one seems to pull them up on it, which is a shame. I'll take my answers off the air and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Well, I would say that there's a, you know, obviously there's been a long history in this country and in most countries of whenever there is a war, and actually this isn't a war, it's an invasion and occupation. I know people keep calling it the Iraq War. I do it sometimes too, but it really isn't. That, you know, governments in general will do the best they can with STRATCOM to keep the truth of what's going on away from the people of their country. There is a group called Military Families Speak Out. You can go to their website and find out more about what soldier emails are and things like that, what's going on the ground and how some of the soldiers are feeling about it. There's also General Hackworth has that. Colonel Hackworth, sorry, has his newsletter and his website, which is very, very informative. I also think that, you know, when it comes to right-wing guys like Hannity and Limbaugh and calling them on their dishonesty, well, they're sort of in the propaganda business, so it's sort of... Do you know what I mean? So it's sort of hard to continually call them on it because that's sort of what they do. That's that's the purpose that they serve, I suppose, is they spin out right-wing propaganda and they say very wrong-headed things. But, you know, if we were to spend time, which Al Franken actually spends a lot of time calling, and so does Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, calling guys like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh to task for when they say dishonest things or really wrong-headed things. But the thing is they do it every day. That's what they do. That's who they are. So, you know, it's more insidious and more annoying when people that present themselves to be more straight news people like, what's the guy, Rich Lowry, who's the editor of New Republic?
Yeah, National Review.
Rich Lowry. Now, he's one of the guys that's much more insidious because he presents himself as a legitimate thinker and journalist. He's a very bright guy, but he... will sit on Washington Journal on C-SPAN, look straight into the camera and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie, not just about the Bush administration's many positive aspects, you know, which there are very few and far between, but he'll lie about John Kerry and other Democrats. And he's one of these guys that sits there in a suit and he looks very learned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's even more insidious because, you know, Hannity and Limbaugh have no credibility with anybody that thinks, you know, anybody that's a critical thinker and anybody that knows what's going on in the world. So, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't understand guys like Lowry, who are, you know, David Brock writes about that type of person extensively in his book, Blinded by the Right, and he'll be talking about it again in his new book, The Republican Noise Machine. There's also a documentary on the BBC that has been written about in Atlantic Monthly, I believe, this month, about the Republican right-wing machine that just pumps out disinformation from very allegedly reputable sources on a daily basis.
Janine, are you getting any of these commercial television news channels, the talking heads channels, Fox, MSNBC, mm-hmm. CNBC, there's a number of them now. Are any of them trying to get you to do a show with them or to provide some sort of balance?
No, not anymore. They've stopped. You know, I actually stopped doing shows with them when I realized it's just an exercise in futility and it's just silly. But they sort of stopped calling me to do stuff a few months ago. But there was a while when they were a lot of them were demanding that I apologize to them for being so wrong about Iraq.
Really?
Yeah, because, of course, it was going so well. Until it was obvious that it was going really badly, then they sort of stopped doing it. But even Newsweek and allegedly reputable news things had a real, a real field day with mocking people like myself for a while. I don't really know why. I think I think pride and ego get involved with people that were so wrong about Iraq.
You know, one of the criticisms that you received repeatedly was, well, you're an entertainer, you're an actress, you're mm-hmm. a comedian, you have no business weighing in on these matters. You're
right.
just, you know, you're taking advantage of the fact that you're a celebrity to do stuff when you really don't know anything more than anyone else on the street. And this seemed to be a selective criteria. This wasn't applied to Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example.
Right. Well, if you're an actor that supports the establishment or supports the government, that's fine. If you're an actor that runs counter to government propaganda and establishment views, that's not fine. But like I said, having actors on these shows is not ideal. But that's why they do it, because it's easy to mock. You know, if an actor says the war is wrong or the invasion is wrong, let's boycott that actor. If the Pope says the invasion's wrong, not a peep is heard. If General Hackworth says it's wrong or General Zinni, whatever, you don't hear anything about it. But they know that it's easy to get the public rallied behind a sound mocking and dressing down of an actor, because our culture has a very peculiar love-hate relationship with actors and singers. So, you know, like I said, it's the reason they only book at, you know, it would have been, if we flip-flopped it, and the only voices you heard that were pro-invasion occupation were Ted Nugent and Kurt Russell, but on the anti-invasion side, you heard all manner of Pentagon personnel, military personnel, and Washington insiders, everybody would have a very different perspective on the war.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Janine Garofalo today in Media Matters. We've got a full bank of phone calls. We'll get to all of you, I promise, and keep calling in if you get a busy signal. Line 2, Chicago, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, hi. Just another call from Chicago to say that I've been trying to get your program, Air America, since you went off, and I don't get it. Even I've ranged all over the dial, and it just isn't on the appearing in Chicago nor any station nearby.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, I guess go to the website again, and you'll be looking into this very soon, I assume.
Yeah,
well,
I myself have been misinformed on this topic.
As far as the website goes, I wish you people in radio and television would stop referring, assuming that all of us have computers. There are some of us that still don't have computers, and we're lost as far as that particular situation is concerned. You might refer us to some other means of getting information.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to do. You know, obviously, we're taking advantage of modern technology in that sense, because it's cost effective and it seems to reach a good number of people. I wish I could refer you to other things. I mean, in your car, I don't know if you have XM or Sirius satellite on your car radio.
I don't even have a car.
Okay. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. I wish I did have other information for you. I was told we were back on the air in Chicago, and apparently that's wrong from the calls we're getting today.
Well, there are columnists or something who handle the media, and occasionally sending a line to them, they might put something in the newspapers or something of that sort, so they would let us know.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Unfortunately, Air America was saddled in the beginning with some very duplicitous management types who are no longer there, who seemingly were operating in a sort of dishonest manner that almost geared it towards failure in certain markets. And so we're still trying to clean up that mess at Air America.
Okay,
so hopefully
you.
It'll be remedied soon.
Well, before we go to the next caller, I just want to make an announcement that after this show today, live on WILL AM 580, will be 2 hours of the commencement services and Lonnie Guinier's address to the graduating class. So please stay tuned for that. For those of you who are not necessarily going to want to listen to that, I will be giving a talk at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center at 3 o'clock and a fundraiser for that nonprofit group over at 218 Main Street in downtown Urbana, 3 o'clock today. So please come swing by and help support our local independent media. And remember, next week we will have on Media Matters as our guest Arianna Huffington. In the weeks that follow, we will have Lawrence Lessig, the expert in copyright, John Stauber, and David Barsamian, among others. So stay tuned every week, 1 to 2. To Media Matters. And now let's go back to the phone lines. Line 3, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Janine, I wanted to ask you what you thought about the Bush campaign's branding of John Kerry as a flip-flopper.
Uh-huh.
Specifically, we heard that Condoleezza Rice didn't want to testify in front of the 9/11 Commission because there was this great big principle of executive privilege. And then, you know, some time passed, and then all of a sudden the principle doesn't hold true, and nobody says that this is a flip-flop. What
right.
did you think?
Well, I know that there's a lot of hypocrisy that goes on in politics in general, but especially with this party. They really had to define, or they felt they needed to define John Kerry as something. And since they really don't have much ammunition against him, they had to pick flip-flopper because it's kind of easy to package and market in kind of silly commercials and things.
But where was the response to that? You know, that if we don't respond and say, hey, Bush is a flip-flopper too, well, then it appears that Kerry is,
right.
in fact, that.
Well, unfortunately, as I said, the mainstream media is really not in the pocket of the Democratic Party. They are in the pocket of the Republican Party. So it's very difficult for any Democrat to get their message out for anything. But John Kerry's website, you know, does do some rapid response work towards media misinformation. There are also other places, you know, like in These Times magazine and The Nation magazine and things that do their best to counter that stuff. Also, MSNBC.com tends to do a pretty good job of going through campaign commercials and pointing out inconsistencies or things that are just not true.
All right, Janine Garofalo is our guest. And Janine, before we go to the next caller, I wanted to just let you know our producer just sent me a message over the computer saying that we've gotten a number of calls from Chicago. Everyone's saying it's definitely not on the air there any longer, Air America in Chicago, but they all want it back and they all love the show.
Okay, great. Yeah, so. I will get on right on that tomorrow as soon as I go into the office.
But, I mean, there's definitely an audience in Chicago based on our calls. We're 140 miles south of Chicago here.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, so let's go back to the phone lines. Line 1, Urbana, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Okay, sorry I called earlier, but I had one more question. This is about... I'd like to see more stations, and yes, back in Chicago, that'd be great. Can regular people invest in this endeavor? I mean, obviously, you're not everywhere because you don't have enough money to be everywhere. How do people help to change that?
You know, that is a good question.
Yeah, how can people help other than just listen? It's a commercial enterprise, so it's not really you can make a contribution like you can to Pacifica Radio or something.
Well, I know that one of our employees had the idea of merchandise to help raise money, like T-shirts and mugs and things, and I think it's called Cafe Air America Cafe
mm-hmm.
on the website that you can go to. Also, I know that the new financial supporters are a group, I think, called the Drobny family.
Yeah, they're from Chicago.
Yeah.
Shelley and Anita.
Yes, that's who's helping us to bail us out after the fiasco that was the old ownership. And I honestly, you know, I never thought about that, like how You know, that's a good question. That's another thing I should know that I don't know, and I pardon me for my ignorance on that issue.
Well, it's sort of striking that you have listeners to a commercial station and want to find ways they can actually contribute and help.
Right.
And it tells you there's a devoted base out there.
Well, that's great. That's good news. Yeah, I honestly don't know, you know, how they could. Like I said, there is merchandise now to help raise some money. We're trying to, you know, sell time to commercials and things to make money that way. I don't know.
Yeah, but Janine, before we go back to the phone lines, you were going to be on our show almost, I think it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was the March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C. that you attended.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that march? Because, you know, the reason I want you to talk about it, among other things, is the nature of the press coverage it got. Mm-hmm. And if you could talk about both those things.
Okay, yeah. Well, I went to the March for Women's Lives Sunday, April 25th, I believe it was, and it was historically the largest march for women's reproductive rights in history. The press coverage was, as usual, sort of dismissive a bit. They also used, you know, mainstream media news people use dishonest language like partial birth abortion, which doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a partial birth abortion. Just like there's no such thing as a death tax. There's an estate tax, and there is a procedure called dilation and extraction that is used very, very, very rarely in cases where a woman's life is in danger. So there is no such thing as partial birth abortion or a death tax. It's this type of Republican spin that gets people all emotional who aren't thinking critically or aren't thinking. And they're like, well, that sounds bad. But, you know, the Republican, one of the first things that Bush did when he got into office, besides roll back the Freedom of Information Act as much as he could, was reinstall the global gag rule, which means that there's no more funding domestically or internationally for a lot of places that provide sex education information or condoms or anything like that. And it's been responsible for the spread of AIDS and the death from botched, quote-unquote, back-alley abortions and lack of funding for medical care for 80,000 women and children around the world. And that was also what this march was about, and also the march was about the fact that the Bush administration continually tries to undermine people's civil rights. And also, not only are they trying to overturn Roe v. Wade, but they're talking about amending the Constitution to legally discriminate against gays.
You know, it's extraordinary to me. It was a million women, or a million people, because there were men there as well, in Washington for that demonstration. A year earlier, in February, the anti-war demonstrations in the United States and globally, attracting, you know, tens of millions of people. Mm-hmm. Really numbers that have never been seen historically before. I mean, we're seeing something rather remarkable and phenomenal here. What sort of political moment do you think we're in this country?
Well, I think that, you know, Bush has never been particularly popular. That's also mainstream media spin. What he did enjoy, if you want to put it that way, was national rallying and solidarity after a tragedy, 9/11 tragedy, which, you know, would have happened if Ralph Nader was president. If Al Gore was president, there would have been that kind of national solidarity and popular poll numbers. But what domestically and internationally people are responding to is a authoritarian regime, which is the Bush administration. And they do not have any respect for people's civil rights. They don't have any respect for human rights, as you know, the Abu Ghraib being just one aspect of the lack of respect for human rights domestically and internationally that the Bush administration has overseen since the time they entered office. But the reason that you historically have seen the number in the streets protesting the invasion and occupation of Iraq and protesting the attempts to overturn Roe v. Wade and protesting the attempts to amend the Constitution to discriminate against gays is that there are people that, whether they're that politically savvy or not, viscerally in their gut know that there's something very wrong with this administration and that there is something, you know, when you have John Dean, White House counsel to Richard Nixon, writing a book called Worse Than Watergate and saying that this administration makes Nixon's look clean, then you know you got a problem.
We're talking to Janine Garofalo today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We've got a couple of callers I want to get to in a second, but before I do, I want to say we've had a number of other callers who've called in just to leave messages. For those of you who do not have internet access and want to go to airamerica.com to locate what station might be carrying it or for other information, they mentioned you can go to public libraries and get internet access at virtually any public library in the United States today. And people there will help you with online navigation. So feel free just to talk to your local librarian. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We have some people who have been very patient. Line 4, Chicago, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Oh, let's hear it for 24-hour access to your public library. You answered one of my questions on potential funding, because I was worried about holding on to corporate sponsors and attracting new ones. There was an important point made on the Moyers show, which mm-hmm. we get at 12 noon on Sundays in Chicago, on our public television station.
That's one of the greatest shows. Bill Moyers' new book is fantastic, too. But Frontline and Now are two of the most important shows.
Yes. His interview with Susan Jacoby talked about the intersection of religion and politics.
Right, and her book, Free Thinkers, is great. It's a really great book.
One thing was... the point made that commercials that advertise products for sale have to be somewhat truthful, but political commercials do not.
Right.
And that point needs to go out there, because in the swing states, they've taken polls after putting a lie out there and seen dramatic changes in the percentages of people against Kerry or for Bush or against Bush or whatever. And the point, I suppose, needs to be hammered home for the next 6 months that they can lie.
Right.
We've got, by the way, Amy Goodman coming to Chicago on Friday to sign for her book. And programs like hers and alternative radio and so forth. I fortunately live in a neighborhood where I can pick up 4 university radio stations, including this one. But I get Democracy Now, and most of Chicago doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
How to make that more available to more people? And finally, are you considering more reach into the swing states?
Yes, we are considering more reach into swing states. We're doing the best we can. We're also doing work with other organizations that do reach swing states to educate swing states, taking bus tours through there and trying to educate voters. It is unfortunate that most people don't understand that political campaign talk is mostly propaganda. And it is unfortunate that especially for the Bush campaign, they really need to rely on people's ignorance, willful or otherwise, to perpetuate myth and false numbers and false stories about what is and isn't going on domestically and internationally. It's a real shame. But, you know, for the most part, the Bush administration has been run on myth and anxiety.
You know, Janine, there was a great advertising creative person named Robert Spiro, who was the head of creative advertising for Ogilvy & Mather in the 70s.
Yes.
And he used to go to parties, and people would criticize political advertising to him and say it's just as bad as beer ads and soap ads. And he took great offense, because he thought his beer and soap ads had a certain amount of integrity compared
right.
to political ads. And so he took a year off from his job. This is one of the top people in all of advertising. And he did an examination of every presidential TV ad from 1952 to 1976. And he argued if they were held to the same FTC standards as his commercial ads, not a single one would have been allowed on the air. They were all fraudulent.
That's absolutely true. And unfortunately, people from Ogilvy and Mather were hired by this administration to help sell the war.
All right. We're talking to Janine Garofalo today on Media Matters. We've only got a couple minutes left. We've got a couple callers. So I want to get to them in a second for quick calls. But I did get a notification that the Air America website is Air America Radio. com.
Right. Did I not say that?
No, I think I might have been the one
who
said
Air America is a paintball site.
That's right.
So it has to be Air America Radio.
AirAmericaRadio.com is the website to go to get all the information and also to listen to it. You can stream it right at AirAmericaRadio.com. Also, for listeners to the program who want to get weekly updates from us about our upcoming shows and links to sites like AirAmericaRadio.com for all our guests, please just send an email to my producer, Victor Picard. His address is vpicard@uiuc.edu. We'll hook you up. You get one weekly email. No junk mail. We promise it. Let's go back to the phone line.
Actually, I want to say one other thing.
Sure.
I think another mistake some people might be making is, you know, we're not 24 hours yet.
Yeah.
So they may be tuning in when it is Caribbean.
That's right.
Or they may be tuning in on the weekend when we have limited amounts of programming on the weekend and it's also Caribbean.
Okay. Line 1, Urbana, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Hi, Janine. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. First of all, just thanks to everyone at Air America for everything they're doing. I'm gonna start listening to them online.
Oh, great!
Because I don't think we have that down here. Second of all, I love the way you put that the only way anyone could ever connect Saddam Hussein with Al Qaeda would be either a combination of ignorance or willful ignorance. And I really think that that hits the nail on the head, that there's no way anyone could really make that connection otherwise.
Right. I think that's been a real problem with the whole foreign policy of the Bush administration and the quote-unquote war on terror, which is a lot like the war on drugs and the war on poverty, which are these amorphous phrases that are supposed to make people react, but then nothing really happens. I think that there are a whole lot of people who support the Bush administration through willful ignorance. They just prefer slogans and ideas, and they're also not particularly well-informed. They're also very frightened about the threat of terrorism that the Bush administration pushes and pushes and pushes. Then there's also pride and ego, guys like my dad, who will not ever admit that the Bush administration is failing just because he and I have argued about it so much, that there's a certain amount of pride and ego involved for people. It's like sports teams. You know, John Stewart said it's like Yankees versus Red Sox fans. You just never want to let go, and you don't want to feel like you were wrong about something, and you don't want to feel embarrassed about something. But like I said, the Bush administration gets a lot of mileage out of fear, anxiety, ignorance, willful ignorance, and pride.
Let's go to our final caller today, if we can. Line 2, Spring Bay, you're on the air with Janine Garofalo.
Good afternoon. Well, my question is, I think George W. is a front man. And what interests do you think he's representing? What do these people want?
I agree with you. I think George Bush is somewhat of a front man in that, a lot like Reagan, he's easy to manipulate, and he's a pleasant face on an unpleasant agenda. He represents big business. He represents all things corporate. He represents the oil and gas energy industries. He represents big pharmaceutical. And he is the pleasant evangelical face that can get tons and tons of money out of the religious right by using coded language and talking about his prayer and his God and all of that. So he, like Reagan, is an incredibly effective tool as a fundraiser. He also he's not particularly intellectually curious and doesn't know a lot about politics, so he can easily be told what to do by guys like Cheney and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Feith and Bolton. And he's just a fundraiser, basically. And he's a guy that goes out there and does his old just plain folks.
Did you read the O'Neill book at all?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly astonishing portrayal of his sort of focus on the job.
Everything about this administration is astonishing. And if the mainstream media did their job, you and I could run tomorrow and win. You know, when they talk about electability, well, Bush is unelectable. That's why he wasn't elected in the first place. But he is unelectable. He is the worst president we've ever had.
Janine Garofalo, on that note.
I love leaving on that note.
I knew you would. I hear the band tuning up in the background. That means I've got to clear out of the studio. I want to thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
And go to airamericaradio.com to find out where her show, The Majority Report, will be playing in your community, and get it online if you can't get it there. Thanks again, Janine, and I'll
thank
be
you.
Back 1 week from today with Ariana Huffington. Thanks to Victor Picard, my wonderful producer.
Bye.
Bye.
AM 580 has a listener comment line. If you'd like to comment on something you hear on the Information Advantage, call 217-333-0853 and leave a message. That's 217-333-0853. This afternoon in Champaign-Urbana, partly sunny with a high in the mid-70s and east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s and southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with the high in the lower 80s and south winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. You're listening to WILL Urbana, made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. At the tone, it will be 2 p.m. We go now to the Assembly Hall for live coverage of the University of Illinois commencement ceremonies. Your host is Jay Pierce.
And good afternoon from the Assembly Hall in